Listen to your mother. Here's some things a mom would never say. How on earth can you see the TV sitting so far back? Yeah, I used to skip the school a lot too. Oh, just leave the lights on, it makes the house look more cheery. Let me smell that shirt. Yep, it's good for another week. Go ahead and keep that stray dog, honey. I'll be glad to feed and walk him every day. Well, if Johnny's mommy says it's okay, it's good enough for me. Curfew, it's just a general time to kind of shoot for. It's not like I'm running a prison around here or anything. I don't have a tissue with me. Just use your sleeve. Don't bother wearing a jacket. The wind chill's bound to improve. We don't want to listen to those mothers, but we want to listen to our mother. For 2 solid hours, a lady sitting next to a man on an airplane told him about her grandchildren. She had even produced the plastic fold-out photo album of all 9 children. She finally realized that she had dominated the entire conversation on her grandchildren. Oh, I've done all the talking. I'm sorry. I'm sure you've got something to say. Please tell me, what do you think of my grandchildren? It's Mother's Day. And it's a happy Mother's Day. It's a phrase we hear over and over. And there's 2 things that I want to talk about, and they're loosely connected in so many ways. And the first one has to do certainly with Mother's Day, and the second with this basic question that gets asked by the jailer. And I'm connecting the two because historically, mothers are at the center of raising children. It's been a long time tradition in the past. Brian, you and I like history a lot, I know, and we get chances to chat about things now and again. And I did a lot of research into sort of the further past, before the Middle Ages, we'll call it, and in Europe, Eastern Europe, and in the Middle East. And really, the mothers did all the training of the children in those days. The mothers spent all their time teaching their children how to be good and faithful citizens within the realm that they lived, particularly in Rome. And I know I mentioned this about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Roman women, the rights that they had are very different than what we often suppose. I know Roman women, if they got divorced for any reason, they got all their dowry back with interest. Jewish women, the same. They had a lot more legal rights than we tend to give credit for. Mothers are important because they're the ones that are teaching the children scriptures in their homes. Mothers are important in these days that we're talking about because they're telling the children and teaching the children how to be good citizens, and in particularly in Rome, and we see this in the life of Paul, being a Roman citizen was a very important and well-respected item. The story of Paul being arrested goes on further. If we read, Paul claims, I'm a Roman citizen, and everybody gets very panicked at that point. This happens in various accounts throughout Acts where Paul is either being arrested, he's being beaten, as we heard in this one, or being threatened to be beaten, and he reminds whoever's got their hands on him at the moment, you know, you're holding a Roman citizen. And in several of the accounts, they back right off. Roman citizen missed something very, very important. And the people were raised by their mothers to understand that principle. The question that Paul and Silas get asked by the jailer is a really important question, and I don't want to leave that too far behind. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? If I were to take a microphone and walk around the room right now, I think I would get a sort of 2 categories. One, I'm not sure what that means. What must I do to be saved? And the other category would be everybody had an opinion about what that meant. We can't see that statement without filters that we have in our lives. And I like to use the analogy of barnacles on the bottom of a ship. On the bottom of the ship, if it sits, if this crust gets built up on it, and you can't see the ship anymore. And you have to sort of scrape that all down before you can finally get to the core or the actual ship itself. And when we hear that term, what must I do to be saved, we're hearing that through probably the 18th, 19th century Christianity, where we have Billy Sunday, the types from the late 1800s, early 1900s, Billy Sunday, I guess, was in the 1920s more specifically, where saved and hell and damnation are always kind of juxtaposed with one another. And someone's up there loudly pounding on the table and saying these things, and you have to be a good person or you're going to hell. And we've got all of that built into that when we hear that phrase, what must I do to be saved? I'd rather be saved than sent to the hell and damnation that Billy Sunday's telling me all about. Paul and Silas really kind of get down to the core of that message. They try to understand it much more than the prison's a wreck. All the doors are open. All the chains have been knocked off. Everybody's probably got up and running away. And the jailer says, what can I do to be saved from this situation? They could have seen it that way, but they didn't. Their answer was far deeper. Their answer was to believe in the Son of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus. And if again I were to ask that question, what does that mean? I think that we would see some very different answers as to what that specifically means. The jailer's asking what he has to do, and Paul and Silas respond with, you have to believe. So the doing and the believing get kind of muddied at this point. I want you to be thinking about this as much as possible as a serious note here. I want us to really contemplate the depth of those two simple sentences. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus. They're very short, but there's so much in there. In fact, so much that it's one of the reasons we have the various denominations throughout the Protestant church today. Because in some places, Don and I were discussing this even this morning, we were attending a Methodist church for a while when our kids were small. And I couldn't understand why the Methodists would every Sunday have an altar call to come to the front. And people would come to the front every Sunday, same people. And it's because their understanding of what this must they do to be saved was that you could also lose that salvation. So every Sunday you need to come up because you've probably done something that's made you lose it and rededicate your life. That's a big dividing point between some Protestant beliefs. There's those that believe once saved, always saved. Other ones say, no, you can lose that salvation quite easily. You need to kind of redo it all the time. And I'm not using big fancy theological terms there. I'm boiling it out. I really think that we need to understand this as much as possible. Speaking to you as a teaching elder, what do we have to do to be saved? And what does it really mean to believe on the Lord Jesus? In this day and age in which we live, we're being challenged all the time as Christians and as the church about what those two statements mean. Not only within our own ranks, but outside. Nobody wants to draw a line in the sand anymore. If we need to draw a line in the sand, I suppose. Nobody wants to clearly state, or very few people want to clearly state, what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus. Does it mean I have to read my Bible every day? Does it mean I have to spend hours in prayer every day? Does it mean I need to go to church every single Sunday? Does that have anything to do with believing on the Lord Jesus? These are hard questions when you put it those ways. And so these are questions that are helping define again who we are. So I think that the times in which we live are very positive in so many ways. Because for years, decades, the church has just kind of coasted in some ways. Coasted along. Yeah, we believe these things. But because these challenges are coming from within and without, we need to understand what it really does mean to us as a congregation, to us as a denomination, to us individually. What does it mean to be saved? And what does it mean to believe on the Lord Jesus in practical, daily, walking through my life terms? And I don't have that answer without standing up here for several hours and getting an open forum going and looking up more scriptures and doing that. That's something that is part of that walking in our journey of faith to try to understand and come to terms with. And I've used this term at session, and I've used this term here in this church before. What are the non-negotiables about what you believe? What is it that's going to make you say, nope, not that? I'm good over, but I'm not that one. You're not taking that one away, or you're not adding that one to my list. Those are your non-negotiables. And I think it's a great thing that we're in this time frame right now. Because we're asking those questions and trying to sort them out. It's not hard in one sense, but it's getting us to at least understand and articulate the things in which we believe. And again, back to mothers. It's our mothers' jobs within the sort of definition of our church family. It's our mothers or the people who are in that role in our lives who help us to understand that. And you may be not just a physical mother. You may be a mother in a role for someone. I know there's lots of young people in the past. I've been that father for them in so many ways. Donna's been a mother to so many people in so many ways, acting as a guide. How are we letting that mother raise us as good citizens and faithful Christians? The point of Mother's Day today is, yes, of course, we're honoring mothers and motherhood and maternal bonds and the influences mothers have had on our society. And it's been around for over 100 years now that we've been doing this here, certainly in North America and Canada. But mothers have been a part of the sort of life cycle since Adam and Eve. And mothers are very important in that respect because the mothers are the first people often that babies see. There's a bond that's there that can't be equaled in any other way. Linda Joy Myers says this in an article entitled, Everybody Has a Mother, and Everybody Does Have a Mother. One word, it's just a word, mother, but it's never a neutral word. It's always imbued with an emotional meaning. Everyone has a mother of some kind, biological, foster, adoptive, loving, reluctant. One of the things that all humans, being mammals, can identify with is some relationship with a mother, in quotes. Each of us has a story, or many, about her. Each of us is somewhere on a path of dealing with the person we know as mother and her relationship to us. As Mother's Day approaches, pink flowery cards spring up like gardens in every store, and we're inundated with sales of perfume, household items, girly dresses, stuffed animals, flower deliveries, and chocolates. The commercials say things like, who's the person who always listened to you, the one you could always count on, mom, celebrate her today. This single statement can send all manner of people streaming into therapy, at least one session or so, to cope with memories and feelings and demands that are triggered. Some people, lucky people, do feel that their mother is their best friend and carry no doubts about her loyalty and trustworthiness and her deep and abiding love. Sons may model their love interest after their mother or not. Daughters may want to be or not be like their mothers, measuring their worth against that of their mother's winning traits or what they think of her shortcomings. We define and redefine mother and its meaning to us in all our lives as we do the rest of our family relationships. The same statement about Mother's Day that makes some people feel loving and celebratory can make others feel sad and angry and confused. I was one of those in the second group. My stomach would begin to ache as Mother's Day approached, and despite my intentions to ignore the day or at least find a neutral card, I remembered things I didn't want to think about. My mother leaving on a train after her once-a-year visit to me and my grandmother and her mother. Another part of me wanted her to leave because the visits were so fraught with conflict between her and her mother. My mother and I shared a strange parallel history. Her mother left her when she was about 6 years old. My mother left me when I was four. Her mother was now taking care of me, so my heart was softened towards my mother as I thought of her being motherless. I knew how that felt. It's quite a moving article. Quite a moving article that's talking about sort of that far extreme of not a great relationship. A mother who didn't take the time to raise those children. A mother that didn't make that demand, listen to your mother. It's funny, it's the same with, we hear this often kidded around with, the older I get, the smarter my parents are. Because when we're young, they don't know anything. But when we're older, we realize something very important. Something I know for me personally happened at a very young age in my life. But I began to understand and see my parents, not as my parents, but as people. As human beings who had failings, had good things and bad things going on in their lives. And every one of us that are parents, and mothers in particular, rarely get a book that says this is how to be a mother. You kind of strip and trip and move along as best you can through that whole journey. And hopefully and thankfully our children as they get older begin to come to that same realization. Yeah, these are These are people, more than just that role of mother or father. They're people, and they're trying. We need to listen to our mothers. The Bible's pretty clear about honoring our mothers. Ephesians 6 says this, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother." And this is the first commandment with a promise. It says this, "Honor your father and mother so that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." Mothers and fathers need to put that up on the wall. Do what I say because they'll make you live longer. Exodus 20 says, "Honor your father and mother so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving to you." And one in Proverbs that I have, the children are have on their papers that they're working on at the back, Proverbs 31 says this, in describing a mother, "Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her happy, her husband too, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her a share in the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the city gates." It's older type language, but it's saying what that role has in our lives, that important role that that mother has. Our mothers are very important, whether it's a biological mother or someone else who's playing that role for you in your life. And it's clear, especially through Proverbs, that mothers do so very much to influence and guide who we become as people, as friends, as employees, as parents ourselves, as congregation members. Take a few minutes, a couple of minutes. Do something that was done back when Mother's Day first started. Write a letter to your mother, whether she's here or not. Write a letter to your mother to thank her, to honor her, to praise her, to tell her that your life is what it is because of her and all that she's done for you. You don't have to give it to her. She may not even be alive anymore. But write it out anyway and thank and think about all that your mother has done. Your mother's got you thinking about that fundamental question, what must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus. She's asking you those sorts of questions as she guides you through life. So this morning we'll be giving out flowers for Mother's Day, whether you're a mother or not. You may have wanted to be a mother or not, whether your mother was good or bad. None of these things matter. The flowers are about the influence a mother has had in your life. We all have them at some point, and we all should be listening to them. Remember to honor and recognize her on this day. The Bible tells us it's a good thing because it says many times, honor your mother so that all may be well with you. Listen to your mother. Happy Mother's Day. Now I'm going to ask the children, come on up. Yep, and I want you to hold your papers out. Hold your papers up so we can see them. You've done a great job, I know, decorating them. And what does it say? Listen to your mother. Come on up here, we can see them. And you're going to take those home, and your mothers are going to put them on the fridge, and next time, she's going to point at these signs and say, listen to your mother. It's a good thing. And you're going to look up that scripture reading, Proverbs 31. Right? Let's hold those papers up so everybody can see them one more time. Well, you'll find a good place. Well, hold it. Lacey, turn around so people can see. That's it. And let's say it all together. Listen to your mother. Thanks, boys and girls. You can sit down now again. Thanks for that. It's good work. Last thing I'll close with is here's a lighthearted presentation of what we all think about our moms at different points in our lives. And don't get surprised because we all have the same tendency towards our mothers. At 4 years of age, mommy can do anything. At 8 years of age, my mom knows a lot, a whole lot. At 12 years of age, my mother doesn't really quite know everything. At 14 years of age, naturally, mother doesn't know that either. At 16, mother, she's hopelessly old-fashioned. At 18, that old woman, she's way out of date. At 25, well, she might know a little bit about it. At 35, but before we decide, let's get mom's opinion. At 45, I wonder what mom would have thought about it. At 65, I wish I could talk to my mom. Don't forget, listen to your mother, and happy Mother's Day. Let's bow our heads.